Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon is the gospel lesson, especially the words of Jesus. Aware of their malice, he said, "Why put me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin for the tax. Whose likeness and inscription is this? Therefore render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." When they heard it, they marveled. My starting point on this text for many, many years has always been conversation between my father and the pastor. So after the pastor preached on this text, my dad went up and he said to the pastor, "So you render to God the things that are God's and to Caesar the things that are Caesar's?" "Yep." And then he said, "Well, that doesn't leave a lot for Caesar." And we thought it was only one day of a week for God. And we thought it was only, if you tithe, 10% for God. But as you continue to sort that through, the entire life is for God. All those other 6 days are for the service of God in other ways than going to church. And all of the gifts that you have received, they are for the service of God in other ways than putting in the offering. Some of those ways that you may serve God through the things of this world are supporting your family, doing works of kindness, taking the kids and the grandkids out for ice cream. That counts too. Because it's done in service to God in that other area of life. Well, that doesn't leave a whole lot for Caesar, does it? And Caesar, or Caesar spelled IRS, may come along and may demand a whole lot of money out of your pocket. But where's the heart? And when the heart is to God, and when the heart is everything in my life is lived in relationship with God, that doesn't leave a lot for Caesar. So you come to the next, let's not go to the next point. By the way, a denarius, whose inscription, whose portrait engraved on this? And let me give you the annotated version. That guy over there in Rome that claims that he's divine in some way, shape, or form, and will very soon demand that people offer sacrifices to his image and worship him, so this is a graven image of a false god that we, as good Pharisees, just happen to have in our pockets. Well, what are you doing with that in your pocket? You're entangling yourself with graven images, are you, Pharisees? And that's why Jesus uses the word hypocrite. So is it right to pay taxes? Well, whose image is on this thing? Do you want to retain it and make that the focus of all your love and affection, of all your attention and effort, this thing that has the image of a false god, a guy who claims to be divine? Do you really want to make that the entire focus of your life? Because if you do, you're missing who you are and what you were created for, because you were made to walk with God in light and walk with God for all eternity. Oh, okay. Well then, for the next part. So what is the first duty in life? What's the first duty of the pastor? And there are many pastors who would, I know. It is to serve the people well. It is to go and visit in the hospital. It is to preach the gospel. It is to teach the children. It is, and on and on and on. Nope. First duty of the pastor is to worship. Full stop. Yeah, because that is the first duty. And if you don't do that, you can do all of the others and it will miscarry. So the first duty is to God. I've wanted for years, I heard of somebody that did this and I wanted to do this. Preach an entire sermon with my back to the congregation because it would be just talking with God. And you wouldn't even know whether people were going, what is that? Making faces, fidgeting, or whatever. But who knows? May do that before retiring. First duty is to worship. Tell me then, what is the first duty of an elder in the church? It's to worship. The first duty of the properties committee. It's to worship. Bring it into the home. What's the first duty of a husband? Well, hon, let me tell you, you're second. First duty is to worship. First duty of the wife, to worship. First duty of the child is not to obey their parents. The first duty is to worship. Out of that worship comes all of the other things. That's the first duty. What was the first duty of Jesus? To worship. That's why it was his pattern. We hear about it prophesied in Isaiah, lived out in the life of Jesus. Rising early, going out, spending time in prayer, first hearing the scriptures. And whether you hear them from reading them, hearing through seeing them, whether you hear them from remembering them, as the scriptures come to Jesus. This part's in Isaiah. He opens my ears to hear as one who is taught, that I may know how to comfort the weary with a word. First thing in the life of Jesus, worship, prayer. Out of that comes the miracles. Out of that comes the preaching and teaching. Out of that comes the time spent eating with sinners. Because in truly hearing the word of God and truly worshiping, that turns us around and it heads us out into the world. And it sends us to people who need to hear about God. So to the Pharisees and the Herodians, it's very strange, they normally would hate each other. But they got together in order to trap Jesus. Is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not? What's remarkable, what is amazing, is that when they heard it, they marveled. We, centuries later, hearing that, say, well, of course. Didn't everybody know that from the beginning? No. But Jesus, when he brings the truth, brings it in such a way that suddenly you understand, well, it had to be like that, didn't it? And he opens up the things of the kingdom of God in such a way that they never get closed again. So the first duty to worship, and Jesus, this is Matthew 22. The setting is Jerusalem. It is after Palm Sunday. He's come riding into Jerusalem. What's he there for? He's there to worship. And his worship will involve going to give himself as an offering to his Father. That was his worship. And in just a moment, I'll explain what that means, that was his worship. But here comes Jesus into Jerusalem. He's bringing the kingdom of God. Or wait a minute, he is the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God was on a donkey. The kingdom of God had palm branches waved for him and crowds shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna, which means save us, Lord, save us now. And the kingdom of God comes riding into Jerusalem so that the kingdom of God can have nails put through his hands. And the kingdom of God can be fastened to a cross where he can bleed and die. And the kingdom of God came there to be separated from his Father. That's the kingdom of God. See how far he brings the kingdom of God? To everyone who has ever been separated from God. But he goes there and he offers himself to his Father, and this is part of his worship. Because part of what worship means is to take the things of God and say, those are the most important things in my life. I will let go of anything and everything else, if only it is the things of God, the purposes of God, the plan of God, the salvation that God gives, if only it is that. Father, not what I will, but what you will be done. And there's worship. Father, forgive them. That's worship. Today you will be with me in paradise. And the worship then brings salvation. And the offering of forgiveness of sin and the sharing of forgiveness of sin and those things that we did earlier in the service, those are worship. And all of life is pulled into this worship. And the first duty of God, or the first duty of Jesus, the first duty of the Christian, the first duty of the pastor, then starts moving into other parts of life. And we find out that all of life is for worship. And so the kingdom of God bleeds and dies, and the kingdom of God is laid in a tomb, and the kingdom of God rises on the third day, and the kingdom of God shares the kingdom of God with us who are the kingdom of God. And our future opens up, and there's eternity, and there is life with God that never ends is our destiny. And here's one last little twist. part of the worship of God is going to involve living, just simply living in blessing for all eternity. It will be our worship of God to be alive forever. Tough job, but somebody's got to do it. You willing to live forever? Yeah. That's part of your worship. On that day when Jesus comes back and you rise from the dead, transformed and glorious, that will be part of the worship of God. In Jesus' name, amen.